The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
So we have just said, don't worry yourself with some unrealistic expectations. Ladies, idealistic men, you know, tall, charming, the one who preaches, the one who talks, the one who prays, the one who is, you know, don't forget about all those things. God knows you. He knows what you want. He knows the woman He can arrange with you that will cause salvation of your soul, and that you will also effect salvation of her soul. And we talked about past experiences, the things we have gone through. We might likely be touching on that under some other issues. Then we look at separation of the issue of job, the economic situation, all of that. And we came to this point that let's believe in God. Let's trust in God. If He could care for the sparrow, He could care for us, irrespective of the financial constraints that may be around us. And that we are not preaching, don't take good jobs. But we are saying that what is marriage? It's not one man with the children at home and the wife in somewhere, or the wife and with the children at home and the husband somewhere. No, for what God wants to achieve, to be achieved, the two of them have to be together, especially the newlyweds. The Bible says, don't go to war for 1 year. Don't, you stay there, you stay. Hallelujah. Now, today, we look at the issue of bitterness and hatred. Bitterness and hatred, when you suddenly become bitter against the wife, or you become bitter against the husband. The Bible warned us in the book of Hebrews not to allow the root of bitterness to spring forth in us. Sometimes you could have issues that could trigger that, and sometimes you may not be able to lay your hands on such issues. In that case, you go for prayers, and you really open up your heart, and you really come to allow God, you allow the Spirit of God to work upon you by submitting to the counsel of the elders and prayers, and you know, you come to the house of God where there is salvation and refuge. Hallelujah. Today, we are looking at past secrets. We are looking at the issue of unsubmissive wife or bossy wife versus a resourceful woman who sometimes may be a threat to the man. Then we want to look at the issue of sexual disharmony. Then we want to look at the issue of children, lack of children. And we want to look at these four areas. So we have people that will handle these areas, but I want us to participate actively, because this thing, it concerns you. Is that clear? It concerns you. Somebody said, when you feed your heart with the word of faith or word of God, when you don't need it, your heart will feed your mouth back at the time you will need it. Is that clear? So it is what you have now that is inside you. If I should ask you now, I don't think there are people here who have read 25 books on marriages. Maybe young people or married, if you are here and you have read up to 25 books on marriages. Let me see your hands up. I have some books I bought 2004 in Akure on marriages, and I was happy. Yes, I'm going to get prepared. I have not even opened them. Many, they are there. Many, and I told myself, before I leave this world, I will read them. At least that's a consolation. So now, if I now begin to read something I should have read last year now, and reading it today, what will I do? But it is instructions of the Spirit and grace of God that is carrying us. So that's why this one is important for you, because that book you have bought, you kept it until 2 weeks ago. You will not remember to read it. So open your heart and participate. Hallelujah. Reverend Mrs. will talk about the issue of unsubmissive wife and bossy wife versus a resourceful woman. I will just give a background to that, then she will take it up. We are going to contribute actively. Don't stay there. If anybody is not talking, call them. Let them talk, because talk is in their heart. Talk is on vocalized thoughts. Right thoughts is words, not vocalized. So we are all talking. So don't talk inside, talk outside. You see, we have some... Okay, maybe we should just go ahead with it, and let me not preempt whatever might be said on that. The issue of unsubmissive wife. We have had men complain about that.
Praise the Lord. Now we are going to look at the issue of unsubmissive wives or bossy wives. There are some women that are so strong that even when they get home, the strength is shown there. Some of these women, it is not their fault that they are like that. Some of these women, it's not their fault that they are like that. Some grew up in homes whereby they are given responsibilities. Maybe in a home whereby that woman is the first in the house, and she has a lot of responsibilities. So many things depends on her. They will ask her, why is this thing happening in this place? So she grew up to be authoritative. Okay? Don't do it. Don't go. Don't. Now she now gets married. And as a woman, the Bible says you must be submissive. The job of that woman, a major place she must take in that house is submission. Submission. You must submit to the authority of the man. Now let's look at an issue whereby maybe the woman is quite outspoken and the husband is this cool, quiet person. And he's like, well, whatever you say. The woman asks him, what shall we do? And he's like, what do you think we should do? You can't imagine that situation. Like a woman comes and, okay, my dear, what are we going to do about the children? Which school are they going to go to? And the husband is like, what do you think we should do? That one is, in that case, that one is not unsubmissiveness. It's just the kind of person that wants the husband to take his place, wants to push the husband to do some thinking. He be in charge. But this case is a woman that is her own way must be the last say. When they are talking together, this is what we must do. What do you think should be done in that kind of a case? There are some women like that. Even when they are arguing, before they get married, she must have the last say in an argument. Everybody must come and agree to what she's saying. Have you met people like that before? You must agree. All of you. If you are 10 of us must agree to what she is saying. She now gets married. What happens in that kind of a situation? She's now married to a man, and he's like, the husband is like, he has been noticing these things, and he feels, well, when we get married, we are going to deal with some things. So what happens? If maybe you're a man, you find yourself in that situation, what will you do? I want to look at somebody to call. Who wants to talk to us? Let me give us a chance for somebody who wants to talk to us. I'm seeing a lot of faces and nobody seems to be interested in talking to us. Busayo, what will you do in that situation? You will soon get married though.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If I should be found in that kind of situation, this is what I will do. I can't actually say that I will retaliate in such a way. There will be trouble, no. But I will first of all go into prayers. I will pray and I will commune with God. Because even I can't imagine a person wanting to marry and he will marry a person like that. That will be difficult that way. I'm very sorry to say that. I believe that things should be done in orderliness. And this is what I want to say. That if anything like that seems to happen or happen to me as a person, I will first of all pray. I will pray and I will make sure that the church hear about it. Church hear about it. That's it. Thank you.
So that the church can help you to solve the problem because it's a major problem. Wale, what will you do?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
In that situation, I think in the first place, that kind of a woman is, I'm a kind of a person that cannot really cope with that kind of a life. And if I finally had a woman behaving as such that your home will be the first, your home will be, it's a kind of, first of all, I would just have to begin to pray for her actually I will allow her. I will allow her to have free things. I will allow some things to play out. So later I'll begin to pray for her, because I know it's a problem and I must bear it. It's a burden of mine. So I will just have to be in a place of interceding for her. And if I know that, and I just trust God that interceding for her is going to result to, I know with the time she's going to be having a change of heart. I just want to believe that with much prayer and just allowing her to have it, you just come to her senses. I believe one day you just come to her senses and say, this guy that.
Don't you think you need to speak to her concerning it?
Okay. I will speak to her. Because I won't leave her in that situation. I will have to speak to her that, come, all of this we are doing is pissing me off. It's not a life of a believer. I can't cope with that life, first of all. I can't. I can't. I can't.
You can't, but you find yourself in it. What happens? He can't imagine it. It's too heavy for him to even imagine. Similarly, what will you do?
Praise God. I think I will pray for her first, and I'll talk to her. Let her know that the way she behaves at home, she can't behave it here, and she can't control her home and. Then I will report her to the pastor's wife. So, I think the pastor's wife will talk to her and tell her, you have to be submissive and all those sort of things. And if she doesn't come...
Okay.
I will go to the church and report the case to the church.
Report the case to the church. Hallelujah. You see, it's a serious issue. If you find yourself married to an unsubmissive wife, it's like living in a house with It's worse than a serpent. Because there's nothing you say that will land well. And if she's this kind of person that feels, let me explain myself out. I must explain myself out. I must. That the reason I'm doing this thing is because of this thing, and it's trying to explain the situation out. And she's not really agreeing. You talk with her, she's not really agreeing with what you're saying, and you've been praying. You know, you can get to a time, it seems as if prayers are not being answered. The more you are praying for her, the stronger she becomes in this issue. That she's not just ready, you know. But I believe that, you see, like we all said, there's nothing prayers cannot handle. Apart from prayers, you have to accept her and not accept the frailty. You understand? By the time you want to even talk to her, don't attack her personality or else she will stand up on you and say, oh, we are married. Whatever you meet, that is just the same. You know, she becomes angry instead of coming down because she has this... If you find a woman like that, she's most of the time very, very aggressive. Very, very aggressive. She's like, she can go all the way. She's not afraid. She's daring. She's bold and it's like... But when you see that kind of situation, you pray. After praying, she needs to be spoken with. Don't manage the situation and keep suppressing it. And yes, I'm praying, and God is going to answer her prayers. The first year, nothing is happening. The second year, nothing is happening. And it's as if God is not really answering. But maybe God is even speaking to you to take some steps concerning it. Go and tell, you know. Tell the pastors or go and tell the elders in the church so that they can speak with her. And women, please, I want to appeal to you. From now, start learning how to submit so that you won't get into trouble or submit. If you can't submit to your friends, you will not be able to submit to your husband. Don't feel well. When I get there, I will fix him. What are you planning to take there? Now, start working on yourself. Learn to be submissive. Submit one to another. Not even... a husband now, your friends. Don't try to have the last say. Don't make sure that everybody go your own way. Don't make sure that everything must be done your own way. And there are some women that are very, very resourceful. You know, men should understand the giftings of their wife and encourage them to come up. Don't believe that I should be the breadwinner. I should bring in the whole money the house will spend. But when you know that your wife is into She knows how to put one and one, you know, one naira with one naira, it becomes two naira. She knows how to move about. Encourage her to do it and give her the hand to help her so that she can feel, yeah, I'm contributing to my home. Some men feel, no, you don't work when I'm the husband, so you just stay in the house and you keep the children, keep the house. It should be more than that. Give them the room if she's industrious. Encourage her to be industrious. Thank you.
So men should not feel threatened when your wife is able to manage issues more than you do. Is that clear? Like a man one day, they wanted to paint their bedroom. And so they were arguing on the color. So he began to say, I'm the husband in this house, I'm the man. At least I should have the last say. So the man said, okay, have your last say. Meanwhile, there's this couples meeting they used to go to regularly. So they now ask them to just raise issues that have nearly maybe cost something over the week. So the woman raised that issue. And they all said, no, allow your husband to do whatever he wants to do. He let him choose the color. Don't bother about that and all of that. So as they were about leaving that issue, it just occurred to someone, let's even ask this man, what color are you even intending to use to paint your bedroom? He said red. They all shouted on him and said, don't even paint. Let your wife do the painting. Let your wife do the selection. So that you are the man doesn't mean you know how to do everything. There are some things your wife will know how to do more than you. In terms of administration, some men are not at that good as they are women. The women can plan, they can make things be, you know. They can calculate what they will eat. Today is Sunday, they can know exactly what they will cook Thursday morning. Some men don't know what they will even eat this morning. And there is rice, there is beans, they are scratching. They don't even know how to let the best person who can do anything be the one doing it. Is that clear? What is the goal there? The goal is to achieve peace. The goal is to achieve understanding. The goal is to achieve oneness. Like a team in a football, when they play, you don't ascribe the glory to one person, even though they have man of the match. You can say this person is the man of the match or the playmaker. But can he do it alone? He needs everybody. So we are a team. A husband and a wife, they are a team. And so the one who does it for the purpose of making sure that things go on well. And if you read Proverbs 31, you will see the advice of a mother to the woman-to-be, wife-to-be now, advising her. Women, you can read that. And like somebody asked, where is the man in the whole picture? And Pastor told us, men, those who are respected, honorable men are found at the gate. They are at the gate. And the gate is a place of judgment where people come for judgment. So they are elders. So it's not that the husband has played away or whatever. No, he's at the gate and among honorable men. Is that clear? Now let's look at the issue of children. The issue of children. I think Pastor is doing that. Children. You know, in this part of the world, if you get married, like they prayed for me that day, in 9 months' time, I don't know who gave them my own calendar to calculate for me. But we want to look at this issue in a significant way because it is rooted in our culture. There are so many things you say you will not do. It's a lie. When you get to that point, you now know that thing is in you as a man or as a woman. So children is a crucial factor, which we'll look at this morning.
Hallelujah. Good morning. The issue of children is crucial to an African man. And somewhere there, it's part of the trust that is in marriage. But in the case where there's delay, or for one reason or the other one, a child is not coming. Why do we get to a point where everything seems to fall in pieces? It's just the fact that most of the time we get married because of the first reason is to have children. And that's why in Africa, when you get married, the person will tell you that, like he said, in 9 months' time, by 3 months, they are looking at the tummy of your wife. And the tummy is not producing, they're going to ask a question, what is going wrong? What is happening in the house there? And so it's rooted there. And somewhere there also it controls us. And the first 2 months, if something not is happening, we're going to ask questions. You get concerned. You are troubled. You don't get yourself anymore. An average man he's praying, he's asking questions within him that he cannot even tell the wife about. He may tell you he doesn't really care, but somewhere there he cares. So in such matter, when children are delayed, or in cases where there are no children at all, because there are families that have been married for 10 years and they don't have a child. There are families that believe God for a child and came later on. Some throughout their life, they are Christians, they never had a child. So, in such family, have they really been able to fulfill the goal of marriage? Since the child is not there, is that marriage successful? Or can such marriage be ever successful? Let me ask you that. Can marriage without children be successful? Or can such marriage achieve God's own goal or purpose for marriage? Hola.
Praise God. I think that, you know, from my whole little understanding, I think that the essence of marriage is not to have children. That children, giving back to children is just an added things to marriage. That marriage is an institution that is ordained by God to fulfill divine purpose.
What is the purpose? But we say that all the time, divine purpose. What is the purpose of marriage?
The agenda of God upon the face of the earth, like through His church, via the interaction of life, communication of life for salvation, for interaction of salvation for, within and outside the church. But okay. Which I think that children is just an added thing to it.
Added things to it. Thank you very much. So when there is no a child is not coming, what should be the attitude of the people involved?
Personally, let me talk from my own person. If no children is coming, I will pray to the Lord. I will seek the Lord. But if it depends on what the Lord is saying to me, if He's asking me to wait, then I will wait. I think my strength will be sustained by the direction of the Spirit to me personally.
Okay. Hallelujah. Now, okay, in a case where you just know that the woman cannot even bear, biologically cannot give you a child, what do? You hate the woman. From that moment, somewhere there's something inside of you die. You know, something collapse. Okay. In such matter, what can be done? What can we do? Pastor Mark. You are not in our studies.
Praise the Lord. Your question, I just want to be very clear of that question. Isn't before I ever make a proposal and I discover that this woman may not be able to bear children, or
after
marriage and I discover that she may not be able to bear children, there's not be now I'm saying this with all the cognizance of the fact that I am the midst of young people. So I do say these are things that right from my youth I had always known. So I knew that it was not going to be a problem at all. But basically I think women always have that problem when they don't have children and other kind of things. After marriage, because of one reason or the other, the first year of our marriage, there was no issue forthcoming. My wife was always very worried. We went to doctor and all that. However, one day she got excited at home. What's wrong with you? She told me it was not only one time, it was not only two times, many times like that. she showed me that she had calculated ovulation and all that kind of things, and she expected that now that very particular day there should be menstruation, and the tea did not come. So she got excited. Now is the time. It was not one, it was not two times. So I just went out and came back, and I just find out she was so down. What's wrong?
That's come.
It was in the night. So what's wrong? She didn't come out to it. But eventually I was able to probe it out of her, and she told me the story. Okay. However, I told her that I just happened to know that right from time of my getting in contact with Jesus Christ, that all of hell had been loosed upon me. And so I knew that I was going to face battles all along. So I just felt that I wish I had not married you. Not because of this, but because I just find out that I wish I had been let alone to fight, to face this battle alone and not involve
you to it. I thought, okay.
And not draw you into it. So I wish I had not drawn her into it. Praise the Lord. So she was weeping and were crying like that. I wish there was something could happen that could separate us so as to let her out of the battle and just leave me alone there. But by the grace of God, but what I'm trying to bring out in this issue is that there was a time I just wrote one poem. I said, my face is set like flint just to go Gotha. You remember, I just felt that I had always known that no matter what, no matter the hell that may come, that no matter what the devil might bring across me, even in the issue of having children and all that, I was just set in my heart that nothing will be able to stray my mind, deviate my mind and all that. So basically, even when you have discovered that the woman cannot bear children, I just want you to understand that there are issues of life in this life that we are talking about that is there are much more than bearing children. Now, in this part of the world, people don't adopt children. But I think it is coming down gradually now. They say it's not your biological child and all that kind of things. If we are so intent on having children, and yet we prayed and nothing seemed to happen, if we can afford it, we can adopt children. If we cannot, let's live our life. Life is much more than having children. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir. Let me ask us here. It's a deep thing out of our hearts. If it's somebody that's not a couple and don't have a child, how do you see them? You pity them. Okay. You feel for them. You fear. It's because somewhere there in our soul, if you go through the fire of that in life, you know that it's not an easy experience. But then you know that the thing is deep dead in us. I want to ask you one question. If being successful is having children, Jesus did not have one. John did not have one. Paul did not have one. Of the other apostles, there was no mention of their children in all the things they did in the epistles. That's also to tell you that in God's calendar, God will have his own children. God has left reckoning with natural children. What God reckons with now are children in the spirit. I and the children that God has given to me were for signs and for wonders. That scripture was first quoted by Isaiah. Isaiah meant his natural children. But when Christ was going to quote it, he quoted it as a reality for him. So Jesus has children. Where are the children today? I can't hear you. Are you sure you are a child of God? You are a child of Christ? Are you sure? So Jesus was not, he's not missing not being married. He's not missing not having a child. He's a fulfillment. He will see his seed. He will rejoice. He will, his soul will prosper in his will. He will see his will fulfilled and he's delighted. Now, it will take salvation. I'm talking about revelation, understanding like this, to switch on over time in you, to remove that void. Or else you will say, I will cope. When you get there, the it will eat you up. And you'll find that you don't have the energy to do what you want to do. You are trying to act what you don't have the strength of acting. So, at the time we're in, we're just telling us, begin to refocus yourself, redirect yourself, and see that the purpose of God for marriage is first of all for fellowship. It's for life. It's for space. That's the first goal. God now used that same system to procreate. God will have number, I need 1 billion earth and fill the earth at once. You know, understand that? He told Israel, I won't give you the whole land at once. I will give you in bits. So that the animals do not multiply against you. Let your enemy have the space for now. As time goes on, you will reclaim the land gradually. And that's why God gave to man so that he can multiply gradually. You see what I'm saying now? So God will have raised children at once. He didn't need marriage to raise children on the earth yet. The one who created Adam could have created the number of people he wants on the earth. And they won't need to give birth. In the world to come, they won't be birthing. Yet that world will be completed. You see what I'm saying now? So life itself is complete without those things. It will take deep understanding so that you don't invest your strength in life into going to things that will not, like I tell parents. Most parents get attached to their children and God punishes most parents through the children. Yes, because the children will not do what you want and you'll be disappointed. My parents have many of them. They thought when they grow old, all of them will be around them like this one. I told them, I said, if you don't have family in God's household, you have suffered. They're the one that will remain with you forever. Anywhere you are, there will be children of God around you that will be with you. Your children may not be with you. They will be in the U.S. sending dollars to you and you are alone at home. If you have lived a lonely life among God's children, you will die lonely. So begin to shift your mind to see that marriage is not first of all for procreation. It's secondarily procreation. You understand what we're saying? I just said, talk to yourself that way and begin to bring up that new value. That's why you don't have to have 10 children, 8 children to be happy. Are we right? When your man has a different mentality, he believes that I don't want to have children for pleasure's sake. Not to do the will of God, for pleasure. We're saying, talking about the one that last time, we're talking about the couple that said they won't get married because they don't want the breast of the wife to get flattened. He wants the breast to remain pointed, so he won't get married. Can you see that? He won't give birth. So they got married and they're going to have a child. That necessity, that kind of idol, selfishness, that evil there. So if those wives can survive without children, with an evil heart, how much more a child of the kingdom, a higher philosophy, a higher wisdom? Are we in the house, please? You cannot afford to raise that children and see them as your child. Someone it tells you it's not your own. It's because you see that natural affiliation. We know no man about the flesh anymore. We have known Christ. Now know we. How many people can take another person's child and still see love flow? It will take Christ's life and love to flow. Human nature doesn't have that one. Forever you feel it's not a part of me. But the love of Christ can make us have identity in the spirit. And life will be fulfilled and complete. Hallelujah. So, let me say also, I see mother there who's going to be a grandmother very soon. Okay, I trust your children will be fruitful. We pray it. We say it. We believe in it. But I don't look after it. A church, you know, we got married, we got to the church for wedding last time. They said to the woman, in 9 months' time, we must see your children. Twins. I said, what kind? That is not gospel of the church. Truly speaking. You can bless the couple and tell them they'll be fruitful. But it's not to you to give them timing. Except God, by prophetic utterance, is coming via through you, expressly. They can decide not to have. What's your business about that? What's up? You are going beyond your boundary. Talk about twins. Have you asked them? So we do many mounting on pulpit that are not right and accurate. Are we in the house, please? And we pass on a wrong message. If a grandmother or a grandfather and your son's wife is not having a child for 2 years, 3 years of marriage, what do you do? What do you do? You won't call her or call him to the inner room and tell him, Ojo, she won't be here. Remember, be medical. I'm not going to be. And she can be an elder in the church. But when it comes to that matter, forget about status, consider about anything. It's because something has not been converted. There's a soul that has not been lightened. And anybody can be used by Satan. We are saying to us that we should begin to cultivate a world that God and godliness can thrive in. That life and love can thrive in. We trust that a child, anybody can give birth. Even if it doesn't have a womb, God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with God. But having children is not directly a source of life and joy. It's a joy, but it's not the joy. Is that clear? It's a joy, but it's not the joy. Let's look for the joy. And many other sources of joy will come. Nobody has his life complete. You have a lack somewhere. So don't make your own that seems, okay, I have a child, more fulfilled than somebody who has a child. Look at yourself and look at all your own lacks too. You will need that also. If the others outside know your lack, they will pity you. As you are pitying somebody who has no child, they will also pity you. That man. Let's pray for him in his help. But because he's clothed this way, you don't know what is inside of him. He has his own children. He has a car. He goes here. He carries them to church. That man is fulfilled. Let him or her open the crevices of his life or her life to you. You will also find that there are things there paining the person that the witch get done. I want the house with that, please. So don't pity people. Relate to them with love. Pray for them. Believe God with them. But some people have already overgrown their feeling. You are the one that gives them hurt by the way you treat them. They don't just feel anything. But when you see them, the way you respond, make them, okay, they don't know, okay, I have a lack. Give them joy, give them freedom, accept them, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. But they can be better than you in life. Okay? Hallelujah. Children, they are God's heritage, they are not your heritage. Okay? What did I say? They are not your. If you take them, you are being troubled as your heritage.
Hallelujah. Let's read Isaiah 54 quickly, very quickly. Isaiah 54. Are we all there? It says, sing, O barren, that thou didst bear not, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Is that clear? Does that say it? Let's turn to 61. That's in Isaiah. 61. Let's read from verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offsprings among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has what? Which the Lord has blessed. You can know that this is much more than physical. The seed that the Lord has blessed. The God who told Abraham that I will make you the father of many nations. How many children did God give to Abraham? How many? Only one, Isaac. And God told him, I will make you, I will multiply you. That's to show you that God was not talking about the physical seed. He told him, if you can count the dust of the earth, if you can count the stars, so shall your children be. And we are, except for all of us, are the children of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. So God seeks much more than that. He seeks much more than physical children. Then, like Pastor said, begin to program your heart now. Don't wait till then. If you waited then, what used to catch them then will catch you. The reason why many people get frustrated at certain points in life is because they have not prepared for that point before they got there. So when they got there, the pressure overwhelmed them. But if you have prepared for that state in your mind, you have adjusted, you are truly to the dictate of the kingdom or to what the gospel has come to give us. Gospel has not come to give us children, like Pastor was telling us. The gospel is not to make our life better. Is that clear? It's not to come and give you new life in your situation. New life in your, to change your situation, to change your status. That is not the true gospel. So when you go out there and they are preaching to you, come to Jesus, it will bless you. Come to Jesus, it will heal your sicknesses. Come to Jesus, before 3 months, you will see a change in your life. Now, Jesus can do all of that, but that is not the essence of the gospel. The apostles came to Jesus. Only John died peacefully. And even before he died peacefully, he knew what he saw. So God didn't say, if you come to me, I will do this for you. It's not what is done for you, but what is done in you. So let's begin to wake up to the reality of the. It is to give us new life. The gospel is to give you what? New life in Christ, not new life in your situation. If you are poor, the gospel will come to you and give you new life in that poor state. If you are rich, the gospel will come and give you new life in that rich state. That's why the rich people don't believe, they feel they don't need Christ. Because the kind of gospel we have presented, they have looked at it, they don't fall in that category. So why do they need God? Because they have money, they have businesses, they have everything. They don't need to pray for some things to happen like you do. So why do they need to receive Christ? But when we present that, it's not about changing your situation. It's about you laying hold on new life. They will see how wretched they are, even in their perceived wealth. Is that clear to us? So we must know that that gospel, Paul said it, are you called before being a bond servant? Don't seek to be free. Are you free already? Then don't seek to be born. Meaning every man should esteem his state. So it's not when you give your life to Christ now, or as you have been coming around, you are listening to God's word, you are having a secret hope inside you somewhere. It go better. At least let me just keep going. Let me just keep praying. I will always pray. I will always go. I will always read the Bible. I know one day, all of the prayer I've been praying, they can't be in vain. Who told you that that is what God is thinking about you? You know, I used to wonder about some old people that grew up in some core area in Ondo town. You know, those core, mention some of those core areas. Okiagunla, Igbomoba. You know, some people grew up all of their lives there. And they never had the opportunity to even go to Lagos. I don't talk of America. And one day it struck me. I said, this is a bad life. Just stay at one point. You at least try to move out. Make effort. And then one day it struck me. Who told you that you yourself will leave the shores of this country? And it dawned on me. I said, wow, it's true. Who says to me that one day I will go to London? Who says to me that one day I will travel to the U.S.? Like some of you know that in secretly in you. I know. You hope it. After school, they will take me to U.S. I will go to U.S. I will go abroad. Who says that? In fact, there may be no reason for you to go. Is that clear? And then you will also become like them. Then you now know that it's not an issue.
Archbishop said those who go abroad only change their skies. Those who go abroad, they do what? They only change their skies. Maybe the sky there is wintry. Now you have changed from a summer sky to a wintry sky. That's what you have not changed anything. Meaning life is not in any in those things. Life is in the essence of life in itself. So prepare your heart. Eh? Now, this reduces the pressure that all these things we are talking about put on us. Is that clear? A woman who has not given birth to child, somebody, another pastor's wife was coming to, you know, just counsel with her. And then when she got there, she met her, sharing the word with people in the place, and everybody was, and she had to even listen. When she finished, she said, well, I'm even happy. I don't need to say anything anymore. I've come for a different mission, but don't worry. And that woman realized that people are coming to pity her, and she didn't give room for that. She will never allow you to do anything like that around her because it is not necessary. She's not trying to brace up, but she has found reality. She has found essence. Hallelujah. It will reduce the pressure around us. The Bible says life is more than what? Meat. The body is more than raiment. Hallelujah. Let's look at this issue again, the issue of past experience. Mama will handle that for us. Past secrets, not even past experience, past secrets. You just get there to discover that you married, and after 2 days, just go out, the man is impotent. Or you just get to know along the line that the woman has given birth before. He has given birth, she has given birth while she was in secondary school, you know, by mistake anyway, not intentionally. And she has confessed it to God, and God has forgiven her. Or you just got to discover along the line that she's had abortion before, and you didn't know about that, and she just told the sweetheart, it doesn't matter, God is good. Or you came to discover that she or he had done some things in the past, or they have some things going. So, and those things began to happen now in marriages. How do we undo all of these things? Let's welcome Mama to guide us in this. These past secrets, they can crumble homes, oh. Secrets of the past.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder why you didn't finish it off by yourself. This one is a serious issue. Very serious one. But I'm just glad for all of you that you are hearing all these things. So nobody has anyone passing through these teachings. You don't have an excuse. There's no room for a patched up marriage. There's no room for it. I trust the Holy Spirit that what I've just said now, He will amplify it and stamp it in your heart. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing, hearing and hearing and hearing, so that you keep hearing. There's no room for patching up marriage for me. No room for patching up marriage. So like PJ said, past secrets can, it's at times one of the things eroding peace from homes, from marriages, and at times causing separation and divorce. But we've emphasized it here in this place. There's no room for divorce, no room for separation. It's not godly. It's not according to the will of God. He didn't create marriage. He didn't create divorce with marriage. It was never his own plan. Let me say, like people used to say, he didn't craft divorce. It's not his own. I want us to read from Matthew chapter 1. Let's see how God himself intervened between Mary and Joseph. If you have seen it, read from verses 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 1.
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit.
20.
Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
This is the intervention of God himself. Something happened, and if you are reading from King James Version, verse 18 says, she was espoused to Joseph before they came together. Before they came together. They had not been married. But from what I read somewhere, or what I heard somewhere, they had already, they were only waiting for a final ceremony before they come together. And then Mary was discovered to be with a child. I see that one as a secret. I'm sure maybe she tried to explain to Joseph, but he wouldn't take it. It's been emphasized that, and we've heard it this morning, marriage is to give you a new life, not a new status. This man saw something which every one of us should see. He saw God. He saw God in the picture. He didn't see it before then, but later on, he saw God in the picture. And that is what should be at the center of our hearts. God should be there. Everything should revolve around him and what he wants. His focus. We are to be focused on him. So while he thought on these things, I want you to, you know, each time I read about Joseph, it's humbling. And I wonder how many men had taken time to really look at the life of this man. If you were, and you discover that secret, what will you do? What will you do? What will you do? And if you were the woman, what will you do at that particular point in time? He said, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. She was supposed to be brought out in front of her father's house and stoned. She was supposed to be stoned. Wouldn't you stone? Wouldn't you be the first to cast? You cast the first stone. He wasn't willing to put her away. Was minded to put her away privily, so that Akanrora yole laarin won mo nkan to se file. I hope you understand me. But then God had to intervene. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? That place says a virgin espoused to Joseph. I want to even see here. How many men here are praying that and wishing they will marry a virgin? Just do this and put down your hand. Raise your hand. It's in people's heart. It's there. It's there. Eh? It's there. That reminds me of, you know, I said it yesterday. Was it day before yesterday? The newly wedded, and after the first night, the man started shouting. I thought you were a virgin. You are not a virgin. This and that, and that and that. Started raising dust and throwing stones. Thank God for the elder that had to intervene. And the question he asked the man is, are you a virgin? Are you one? Before you took her into that room, were you a virgin? Thank God for wisdom. I just use that one as an example. So, in marriage, you know, with this kind of heart, we are not to expect too much from this life. Eh? When you expect too much from life, it's going to cause trouble for you. Then, what are your expectations? I just asked the question now. I can see the males where they could not lift up their hands. But secretly, every man wished to marry a virgin. And yet you can still remember how many you had disvirgined. And you are still hoping to get one. Let's face reality. I know of brothers, once they say, Lord God is leading me to marry you. You are the God's choice for me. But are you a virgin? Is it virginity like one lady had to say, is it virginity you want now or me? If it is virginity you want, move away. What is this woman saying this morning? Is she saying that there's no need to keep your virginity? That's not what I'm saying. Both men and women, you are all expected to be that way when you are getting married. But when that just picked one, when it become an issue and you are looking all over the place, you don't want a girl that has been tested and you've tasted so many. You've tasted so many. So what we are looking at is past secrets. That one, that is just one of them. This morning, I want us to know that problems will come because of what you are expecting and you cannot have. So let our expectation at this time be tailored to what the expectation of God is for our lives. Like Joseph that we read, the kingdom is the focus. There are certain things you will meet in your wife or your husband to be. You didn't know they will be there. And they will bless you. They will even bless you more than the one you are expecting. But then, there are secrets in our lives. There's no one that doesn't have any. There's no one that doesn't have any. Even the one that is a virgin, when you are marrying her, do you know some other things in other areas that are in her life? So what are we trying to say? Open up to the person you are going to marry so that they don't accidentally discover something about you and then that one destroys the home. Recently, somebody was telling me of a couple I respected, or I still respect them so much. The wife had a child as a youth and did not tell her husband to be. And many years after the marriage, I wonder how he discovered that this girl that was coming to their house belonged to the wife. And do you know what the wife said? I heard that the wife said, Shebi, you were the one that said God led you to me. So if God led you to me, anything you meet there, take it. Please don't cause horrors. Don't give horrors to the person you are going to marry. Open up. Open up to them. Now, I want to say, has there been a previous birth? If there has been a previous birth, like we've been told, and in fact, that one should be a placard that you carry when you are proposing. And when a man comes to you, don't just keep quiet like that. This woman, I'm sure she must be a grandma by now. She has grown up children now. And the first one is her only daughter. How will she like it? Eh? If somebody will do that to one of her sons, I hope we are following what I'm trying to say. Now, I want somebody's reaction, just someone's reaction. Peradventure, the woman didn't tell you, and you discover she already has a child. Maybe two. We used to put the ring on her finger. I'm asking two questions. If we are not yet married, will you still put the ring on her finger? And if it's after marriage, what will you do? Paul, you are already talking. You have started talking. Oh, yeah, give it to him. Oh, yeah, down. I asked two questions. If it's before marriage, what will you do? If it's after marriage, what will you do? Or after the wedding?
I said, oh, the beat in wet, though. Before, that's no marriage. It's difficult, mommy. If it's before marriage, since I am sure that it's God that said, I'm very sure that it's God that is leading me to that, I will just take it. But I won't take it like that, really. I'll first go to my pastor and make him know what is happening. Because it's better the girl inform me before marriage. Yes. If it's after, mommy, we will call angels of the Lord to come and say to it.
Victor, why don't you go down? Who wants? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think marriage is meant for mature mind, both mentally and spiritually. So if I am to be in that position as a man, if God is really leading me to that woman, I will marry her. If I pray about it and God said our marriage is going to be successful, despite the fact that she had an issue, I will still marry her. But if it's after marriage, I later discover that even Jesus said that we should forgive our enemies 70 times, 7 times. And even though she hide, sincerely, I'm saying that, even though she hide, I will still forgive her, but the thought of that may still be in my mind, but I will still forgive her since she's still my wife.
Okay, you will still forgive. Let's give Lydia. Give Lydia the phone. Abidi, I said the phone, the mic. Let's hear from the ladies. He didn't tell you he had it, or he told you before. Will you still allow him to put the ring? And maybe if it is after you discovered, what will you do?
If it's before, like they have said, it's not too difficult, especially when there's understanding. And even at the, like you rightly said, at the point of proposal, the best thing is to tell the person in question, I have a child. Are you still willing to go ahead? And for the ladies too, it's better to reveal it at that stage. But then one can know what you are going into. But if it's not revealed, to break the heart of trust, that's just the truth. We can forgive and forget. And the woman can accommodate a lot. Can even pull the child, and the child will stay in the house. But that heart of trust, it will take God to build it again.
Did we hear what she said? The heart of trust. And one thing that occurred to me this morning is the fact that don't live your life anyhow. Let me just go as I'm led. Don't live your life anyhow. You are just living anyhow. You are born again and you are all over the place. And you are doing all sorts of things. The ones you think will be hidden will never be hidden. Yoruba ni asepamo lo wa ko sa segbe. Things you are doing and you think they are hidden, they may find a way of coming out one day and to embarrass you. So don't live your don't just live your life anyhow. You are in school here, you do just anything in school, or when you get home, you do just anything, and you think it is hidden. Don't do things anyhow. There's always a time, there's always a day of reckoning for things done, either good or bad. Now, I also want to go into some areas. We have talked about birth. If you get married and I have a lot of things, I don't know how we do them. You know, if you just got married and you discover that your spouse never told you that he or she is a child born out of wedlock. Sure, you know that he's not the one that, in fact, there are so many things God gave me here. I said, Kitu Lele Yivai. You know, you never told your spouse you were a child born out of wedlock and maybe on the wedding day, like the one I witnessed, you know, Baba was sitting on a three-seater, and the senior wife was sitting, and the mother of the groom, one fish apamo, do we understand what I'm trying to say? And it's your wedding, and you are just discovering, you're just saying, what's happening? My God, what's happening? What will you do? My sister, in front of Lydia, what will you do? Or maybe, He never told you he was even, the father didn't even marry the mother, and he never told you.
In that case, I think it's not his fault, but I know he should have told me, but I just think we'll just leave it to be settled after marriage.
We will settle it. That's well, that's fair. Can we have another one? Oh, you are the man, and the day you got there, she never told you. You just discovered that the father that he introduced you to, on your workshop or not, well, will be me. Then your wife's mother sat by herself alone in another attire. who is answering? Eh? I beg, give her the. Speak out your mind.
In that case, if I were to be the bride, because I would just believe that there are so many things the guy has not told me. If he has kept that vital part of his life from me, then I think we have to postpone the wedding.
On the wedding day, oh.
Serious issue, I don't know.
In that, please, let's be open. What's the place of, what did pastor say?
Start crying. Then maybe she will start crying.
She doesn't know
what she would do. So it will be accidental to start crying. And they wonder what is wrong with the bride.
Now let me tell you something that happened. At one time I was in court, and this lady came and said she wanted divorce. The judge said, do you think you can just come here and you just receive divorce like that? It's not easy. The lady said he met the man somewhere and got married to him, and later discovered, complete it for me. He was a married man. And now, I know that I don't expect any of our brothers to do such a thing. But explain to the person, he is not running away. Let's not hide anything. Then let me bring out the issue of, there was a case in those days. A girl was raped and someone was running after her. I want to marry this person. All of a sudden, the relationship just if you were in that position, the person told you she was raped. Either incest, I would not want to take it one by one. Incestuous rape. Or raped as a homosexual. Homosexually raped. It's not only ladies that are raped. Guys also could be raped. Most especially the younger ones. These ones are terrible, Abby. Who will answer for us? If you're like the case I just mentioned, just discovered she was raped, and maybe badly raped. Maybe four people on her alone. What will you do? She's the one that told you. Or maybe you are intending to go to her. And then you heard. Nobody's raising the... Okay, thank you, my dear.
Mommy, there is nothing that cannot happen.
Okay.
Many things happen in this world. But I believe if such a thing happened, but there is another man that is going to get married at last. But it depends on our behavior.
This person is married. Okay.
Yeah, if she's born again. Ma'am, you know, there are many born again.
Yes, ma'am. Say born again.
Born again.
don't go into many born again. If you are born again, you are supposed to be born again. Oh yeah?
Well, let's say our ways of life will show maybe she's born again. And let's assume she has born again. So if I find somebody like that,
and so God is saying marry her.
So that is her past. She's now living a new life. I will get her.
You will do what?
I will marry her.
You marry willing, her.
I will marry her. Okay. And I will pay a lot of money on her.
Okay. Okay, they are ready. Give it to Benga. Give the Benga. Let's hear him.
Actually, ma, I don't think that has changed our personality.
Okay.
So I can still go for her.
What if after the giving you still you? What if if some people now whispered after the wedding? That was the girl that was right behind the classroom when we were in GS3.
My wife will always be my wife.
So what he has said is he will overlook, even if he didn't tell you, she didn't tell you before. Paul is talking again.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
First thing, we must have the knowledge of what the marriage is all about. Okay. So if we have that, if I have that in focus, what is the essence of me getting married to this person? So that will settle a lot of issues that will be arising after it. Because God's will must be done. His plan and everything that must happen. So I won't care what is going on. I will just go through this stuff.
Okay. Someone behind. Okay.
Don't you feel you coming to know that at that point?
After wedding.
And she never told you about it. Yes. Don't you feel you're going to have a kind of something you just... And from that moment, your response to her, or the way you something just so don't you feel you can just overlook it that way and you'll be healthy to respond back to her the way you had always done that before you got aware of that.
It's normal for your lower nature to respond. You are still having a nature which is an earthly nature. But there's a demand on me to transcend beyond that and lay hold on what is beyond that. You understand, sir? So I believe that normally I will respond. But there's a demand on me to now, by the Spirit, overcome what is coming up in my flesh and go on, even love her more than what is going on.
Most especially if she's repentant and apologized for not telling you
ahead. That is exactly that you must have to raise it with her.
That she didn't.
Don't assume human thought as a way of feeding you back. It keep coming back to you and coming back to you. And you're using the Holy Ghost, it's coming back to you. It is better you talk about it, not with a conflict mind. And she cannot explain to you what happened, why she has not told you, and so on. You can just go play over it. Yeah. But it's better you talk about it.
Please give my sister a favor. What will you do if, after you had been married and the husband had kept a lot of things and never told you he was a terrible rapist on campus? Yes, there are you not us? Most of you are students. There are people who are terrible rapists and they will never sleep with a girl that willingly submits themselves. They must beat the girl. She must almost die before they have sex with her. And someone now whispered, I've not seen you for 10 years. So this is your husband. This is what he used to be and you were never told. And you are now wedded. Favor.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
These things we say until we get in there, sometimes it's easier said than done.
Oh.
When reality is done on us, you don't know what you can really do. But for a kind of my person, I don't pray. Forget spirit at this time. I'll be very, if after the wedding he told me, after marriage,
didn't tell you.
Okay, I came
in
to
fact,
hear.
Somebody, your old friend that knew him on campus, saw the two of you and now told you that this person.
I'll be very disappointed, and the best thing I will do is I'll call him and ask him. If he's ready to open up, then I just believe he's ready to let things get sorted out. But if he's not ready to open up and he's trying to cover it up, I'll first of all see the elders in the church or an elder that can counsel me on what to really do. Whether to accept, since it's not coming out, I'll find it. Who am I going to trust? Is he the one, or people are just trying to tell me? If I'm still to wait to really lay hold on the truth to know what step to take. But pending that time, it will take God's grace to just cope until the truth is out and we find solutions.
Hallelujah. There really isn't any truth that is coming out again, except the fact that that's what he was and he never told you.
If he is not admitting it,
he will admit. There's so many people that are raising
if
up their hands.
If he admits it, then there is no big deal. Let's just pray to God to help us. Everybody has a past, and that one should not determine where we are going into. The focus is what do we have? What is the main thing? What are we really having? This one should not affect us. I think it's
you have you actually said something. Give the mic to that person. But before then, you actually said something that I really love. You said, spirit apart. Most times when we get to this stage, you know, when we are really in it, we forget the spirit. But let's not forget the spirit. We can't live the life we are supposed to live outside the spirit. Outside the spirit. And I'm sure God is preparing so many people here. God is preparing you for that person. You don't really know the person you are engaged to. You even after marriage, you after the wedding, until after some time. Let's hear you, my boy. Please, let's be fast.
Amen. I'm trying so hard not to imagine the consequence of such a wonderful discovery in marriage. Because, like she said, it's easier said than done. I can't imagine myself being in marriage and I discovered that. Honestly speaking, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right now, I don't know what I'm going to do. But the point is, such things like this should not be found in the camp of the saints, whereby you keep secret before going into marriage. Don't love someone so much that you can't let the person go in the first place. What's the point? Let me tell you, if you want to go, go. If you want to stay, stay. It shouldn't be hard at all. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so serious. I later discovered that my wife is this and that. In marriage.
This one is a question. A little different from this. Still on the same issue anyway. Okay, we are saying that, like he said, he advocated the fact that anybody wants to go should go. You tell the person who you are. And I heard about a lady who has been raped, or a lady who has no womb, or a lady who has given birth before. You tell the man, and he just walked away. And he walked away. So, and the lady was ready to let him go. And he went away. Maybe 2 years later, another person came around, and you have to open up again. You told the person, and the person, they just kept walking away. Must the lady keep telling everybody your secret? I've been raped before, as you have seen me. I've been raped before. In the name of, you are saying it now so that everybody will know. Whoever wants to come and propose, should propose. How should that be done? Maybe Pastor should just help us with that to manage the time.
Let me say this, that the case he was talking about, we are going through a process here where this kind of thing should not come up. We don't expect it. But because it exists, so we just have to talk about it. And apart from the fact that if it happens to you or to somebody else, you will know exactly how to handle it. You know what you can say to them to help them. We are living in a large world that is bigger than you. Okay. And the other one is the fact that you can't tell it if you keep on saying that to everybody. And so the old word comes to just know who you are or your past and so on and so forth. I think the best thing is to like we're talking about here, we're trying to get a system here in place where we can always be free to talk to some older ones or elders who can present such case with wisdom, not having to say exactly what really happened. No, like the case we're talking about one of these days. No, if it happened like that, and you have told the elders, you have told a body that is involved in marriage matters about your proposal intention, and then come to know about this, they say, well, they will call the man and talk to him. Have you prayed? I've prayed. Are you sure? You are sure. What has God told you? He has not told you anything. Then go ahead. There's a way you bring it up gradually, that you come to know that. Are you ready to face issues in marriage? Are you set your heart for whatever you mean there? What if you mean this there? What if you mean this there? Are you still made up your mind to go ahead? Like Inga's approach now. You just want to hear that he's not ready for that. So you just tell the lady, you can't accept this proposal. I think I'm saying now. So things like this one, so that the whole house can be healthy and neat and not be broken down. When we have system like this, it's not because we're handling you like a child. It's because issues in life are bigger, sometimes bigger than you. And it's to take care of the whole of God's children and make us healthy. Okay? So I think we should learn how to go through people. It's not that you are shy. But you can get aware. It's part of the thing I'm going to share about today. I think this time is the time of marriage. And I think God is revisiting our foundations so that he can build a right one for everyone here. If you are in this assembly at this time, you have no reason on earth to make a mistake on this part or in this regard. So I just want to say that there should be something like that one. In the church that has that, please use it. Don't think you have a better way of doing your own. Because when you come with your bruises, we'll just be there to find you and to tell you, Pele, not on that one. You will bear your burden. You will get your consequence for the actions and inactions you take. Thank you.
And just to add this, maybe if there's a person who cannot take that, maybe through the marriage committee, you get to discover some things about your intending marriage partner, and you're not able to take it, I think it is better to stay than to force yourself and say, well, let me just go on. God will help me. No, if, like Pastor just said, now there are some issues that are bigger than you. They may not be a big deal for somebody else, but for you, if it is too much for you, maybe you can allow time and allow God to help you, to heal you. Once that is done, then you can now go ahead. And if you don't force yourself into it, and it's not a sign of that you are not spiritual.
Sorry, in most cases also, we will try to delay you. If you know that such complex cases are there, we won't allow you to go ahead and make that proposal and go ahead and marry. If they say, go and pray more, don't feel these people are just slowing me down. I'm ready. They are just trying to save your neck. So at one of these days, maybe along the line, you will discover that what you think you can bear is assumption. So people are saying, marriage is not something you jump into. Say, I'm set in the next 3 months, and they are trying to slow you down. You think you are wiser. You see, many who have done that, I've discovered later that they will just fool themselves. So if they say, go and pray them all, wait a little bit, let's see this, let's see that. Let it go through all its process. Like Christ will say, let it fulfill all righteousness. It becometh us. So if it is righteous process, go through it, it will better save you. Okay? I think better thing, let's just slow it down a little bit and let him pray them all. So that this thing can sink down them all. You wake up with it, you sleep and wake up with it. Along the line, you will get the conviction of what to do.
Before I hand over the mic, I want us to look at these areas. We are not discussing it like we've done, but I want us to see these areas. Areas where things we tend to keep as secrets. We have talked of fertility, abortions, rape, blood group, the genotype. Are you AA, SS, SSC, or AS? These things should not be kept secret. What of the bad habits? Bad habits. Then I had this. What of stealing? Stealing. And when I had this next one, it was as if Kiwanlele, I had a murder. Maybe someone had killed in the past. Don't say her. If you have given someone money to abort a pregnancy, you are a murderer. You have killed. So, and I also have here issues of insanity. Insanity. Incarceration. Police arrest. You know, these are things the spouse will get to know of later on. And we put them off. And one thing I know for sure is that, and which we all agreed upon on Friday, seek counsel now. When? Now. If you seek counsel now, you'll be better off for it. Then I want to put here, repent. Where there's need for repentance, repent. And let it be genuine repentance. And one other thing which I want to say is, forgive yourself. There are so many of us, we've had certain things, we've gone through some things, we've not forgiven others, and we've not forgiven ourselves. Praise the Lord.
Let's put hands together. Hallelujah. The last part, maybe Pastor will find a way of weaving it into his message. Hallelujah. The issue of sexual disharmony in marriage and all of that. So please, all these things that have been said, deliberately, we do not want to be entertaining too many questions because we just go on and on. But let's write it down. Please, as you are sitting down there, you have a question. Write it down. I know all of this will have generated one question or the other. Please do write it down and pass them to me. Or the usher is there with the basket. The usher will go around. Just drop it. Even if the question comes later, maybe you can drop it in the offering basket as well. It's very important. Is that clear? The issue of the genotype, phenotype that we just mentioned now briefly is a serious issue. So write them there. You know your AS, and you know the person you are marrying is AS, and you don't want her to know your genotype. All those things have caused trouble. Write those questions. Need for clarity. Something has been said this morning that you don't quite understand, or you don't fully agree with it, or you have been taught otherwise. Maybe where you used to be or where you are coming from, they have said something different from that. And we have just said it here this morning. We are not claiming that we know it all. Only God knows it all. But we know this, that which makes manifest is the light. So when we submit everything to the word of God, what happens? We find direction. We find light in it. So don't keep those questions. Write them. Please move around. Some people are writing some questions. Let's take them. Hallelujah. Are we glad this morning? Are you sure you are glad this morning? Can we give God praise this morning? Because, like Pastor said, this is a season of marriage. Not just for you to come and get married, but for God to begin to put things right before you get married. For God to begin to put things right. He puts things right. He arranges your heart. He arranges your focus. He reorders your focus. He changes your mentality. He changes your orientation. All those wrong expectations, He begins to make them right. All those selfish expectations, He begins to change them and tell you, no, son, you are not getting married for yourself, you are getting married for me. Are you even willing to give me your wife? If God comes to you and asks you, are you willing to give me your wife? Will you be willing to give God your wife? You know, God could place demands on people. There are so many demands. Some people, God will tell them outrightly, don't get married because I want to use you. People like Catherine Kuhlman, you know, God will tell them. But there are some people, God will not even say, don't, God will allow you to get married. But God will still tell you, I need your wife. Can you allow her to always go around and move around the country speaking the word of God? God says, that is what, God is even telling you the man. That is what I want her to do for me. She's got this to do for me now. What are you going to do for me in this regard? Will you let her be? Amy Semple McPherson, the first husband she married, did not allow her to do ministry. The woman said, I want to marry somebody who will always stay at home, who will be a home person. And this woman had the call of God upon her life. And meanwhile, her mother also had the call of God. She could not do it because of maybe marriage. And she prayed, God, give me a daughter. Give me a daughter that will do what I am supposed to do and I could not do. And Mary McPherson was that daughter.
and she was almost finding herself again in that same situation. The man sent her away. Go away, I don't want you. The man went to marry a banker. You know, if you are such a man that you want, that you have crafted that, I want somebody who is this, and God now say, this is what I want her to do for me and all of that. We begin to see that this is beyond us. It's much more beyond us. It's not for you. There's nothing we do for ourselves. He said, let those who live, let them now live for the one who died and now live for them. Somebody died for you. And somebody gave his life for you. So all that you have now is not yours. Your marriage is not yours. Your spouse is not yours. You don't even own yourself. You are not of yourself, says the Bible. We all are of God. Let's begin to ask him this morning to arrange our hearts, to line up our hearts with his desires, with his standards, with his judgments in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord will give the spirit of their burning and the spirit of judgment to them that turn the battle to the gate. We need the spirit of judgment. We need the spirit of burning, that God will purify our intentions. God will purify our expectations. We have said it here, the essence is the gospel. Gospel is the thing. Now, gospel is not denying marriage. Gospel is not denying you to be comfortable. Gospel is not saying you should not live in a way that is comfortable. But gospel is saying you that it, there must be expression for the gospel in whatever state you are in. The life of God must find expression. Not what you want. He said, not as I will, but as you will, oh God. Jesus came to that point. Jesus weighed the options. He felt like intervening. He felt like standing upon what he asked. But he said, not as I will, let your will be done, Father. Let it be as you want. We say, Father, bring my heart to that point. Let me say this to us. Marriage is not as much as finding the right partner. It is being the right partner. Imagine if you are such a person, God has worked so much upon your heart, you have come to lay hold on the reality of marriage, the essence of life, and your wife has done the same. When you come together, there's an explosion of grace. More inroad for the kingdom. The road before is now expanded for God to come in more. He said, make all the crooked ways straight. Make every valley shall be exalted. Every hill shall be made low. What are those valleys, those things in you that you are keeping there? Let God level them up. What are those mountains, those idols, those expectations that are not realistic in line with God, what God wants, especially in line with what we say here? We can't do what we like here. Not because anybody will come or anybody will stop you. You have your free will. But the point is, if you want to be part of the what God is building, if you want to be part of what God is doing, you cannot afford to do what you want to do. We'll leave everything to him. We'll leave everything to him. So we say, God will help us. God will help us. You can see that marriage is much more than I marry a wife, I marry a husband, we enjoy. We have our own car, our own house. It's more than that. It's more than that. Let God help us. Let God help us. Let God open our understanding as we go into the second part of this teaching today. Let God open our understanding now. Begin to tell yourself, Lord, I will do your will. That's where it begins. If they are saying it and your heart says no, that is too, no. Now, why are they doing that? Is it because they are married and they are now, no. Just tell God, Lord, I'm ready to do your will. Lord, I'm ready to do your will. Lord, I am ready to do your will. I am ready. I am ready. I am ready. I am ready. I am ready, Lord Jesus. I am ready, Lord Jesus. I am ready, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We'll give you praise this morning. We are willing. Yes, we are willing to follow the leading of your spirit. We are willing. Yes, we are willing to follow the path you set for us. Are you willing? We are willing.
Are you sure?
Yes, we are willing
to follow the leading of your spirit.
To follow the leading of your spirit.
Are you willing?
We are willing.
Oh,
yes, we are willing
to
follow the path you set for us. To follow the path you set for us. Lord, we love your name.
God, we love your name. Yes, we love your name. We are ready to be identified with that name.
Do you love him?
Lord, we love your name.
Yes, we love your name.
We are ready to answer that name. We are ready to answer that name. Oh, we are ready. We are ready to answer that name.
If you read the book of Revelation, it said some people will bear the name of the Father on their head. I call them bearers of his name, carriers of his name. To carry God's name is to carry God, is to carry his identity, is to carry his nature in all ramifications. He said one of their qualifications is this. They have the qualifications in the book of Revelation 14. He said, these are they which follows the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. They follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. Not where they want to go, but where the Lamb wants them to go is where they will go. And it is not when they get there. It is right now, today. Where he wants you to go today. What he wants to do today. The kind of life he wants to live today. Are you willing to live that life? So many opportunities will come your way. Will you take them? Are you willing to take them? Somebody was telling me there's this opportunity somewhere in this particular country. I said, I am not interested. I know what the end will be. Not because I don't want to, but a man of the spirit cannot do what he likes. If you are that person that can do what you like, then maybe God may not be able to work with you. So you must be willing to follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. Are you willing?
Willing to answer the name. Oh, we are willing. We are willing to answer the name.
Tell me, are you ready?
We are ready to answer the name.
We are ready.
We are ready to answer the name.
To answer the name of the Lord. We are ready, ready to answer the name.
Oh, wow, I am ready to follow. I am ready to answer the name.
Oh, we are willing.
We are willing to answer the name.
Can you worship God this morning and bless him? Worship him with the thoughts of your heart. Is it those thoughts rising in your heart? Worship him with them. Open that heart to him. Give him the cup. Your soul is that cup. Pour it for him this morning. You can settle it this morning as you worship him. To worship him is to give him your life. To lay down.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.